Blog Talk Radio.
No matter what you've been told, please understand, New Beginnings is not just for the young. God gives us an opportunity to look forward to the things that last. Amen to that. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry here every Wednesday at 7 p.m., and we thank you for tuning in. Those of you who are listening by internet, the call-in number, if you would like to call in and be a part of the blogcast, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. When you call in, if you hit the number one, if you have a question for the speaker this evening, who is Pastor Dawn Mixon from out of Long, New York, if you have a question, prayer, or whatever is on your heart, amen, she is there to answer that question, amen. And we thank God for her this evening. We just like to thank you for just taking time out. You got all these things that you can be doing, but you chose this night, this hour, this moment to be on this blogcast, Blog Talk Radio, and we thank you so much for it. As we move forward, of course, we are with our regular scheduled speaker, Pastor Dawn Mixon, who always brings a mighty word from the Lord. Amen. And we are looking forward to what God has placed on her heart. Amen. Again, I always say it's like sitting around the table and we're just feeding on the word of God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I can always use some spiritual food on my journey. There are struggles. There's challenges, there's so many things, but we know one thing, that God is always there. He's a God that cannot lie, amen, and he is a God that will always be with you and I, and that's the beauty of serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Enough of that. We're going to move on over into Long Island, New York, and the next voice you hear will be Pastor Dawn Mixon. Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Mixon, are you there?
Yes, God bless you, Elder Clay, and to Lady Clay, God bless each and every one of you who are on the line. Please, please tell somebody that we are in our Bible study on tonight. And as Elder Clay said, those who are listening by way of internet and you would like to interact with us on today, please do. Please take that number down and call in. Amen. So we are going to be going through several scriptures on today, and we just want to have a word of prayer as we go forth on tonight. Our Father and our God, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to be in a place of worship no matter where we are. We thank you because you are always present with us, and we do not take it for granted. We thank you, God, for every day that we breathe. Every day that we have the activity of our limbs. We thank you, God, because you have been our Jehovah Jireh. You have provided for us. Hallelujah. In a season where there seems to be famine. And we praise you, God, because you still look after us. You still protect us. You keep a hedge of protection around us. For this, we want to tell you thank you. And so, God, we come asking nothing, but thanking you for everything. Because we know it's because of you that we live, move, and have our being. And we are thankful. And we are grateful. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, everybody. Everybody, I just want to simply talk about the word. That's our subject for tonight, the word. I shared this with my church on last week, and subject pretty much stemmed from a conversation with my oldest grandchild. He asked me a simple question. He says, Lima, what came first, letters or words? He's an analyst. And so I thought about it, and, in my flesh, I said, well, letters came first because the letters are what make up words. And then I got a tap in the spirit. Felt like a spiritual finger was shaking its finger at me and saying no. Mm-hmm. And the scripture came to me in John 1:1. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And as I looked at that, I then began to say, well, it came to me, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, so the Word made letters. And the letters that he made words. And that from there, the words then made sentences. And from there, the words made paragraphs. And from there, the words made books. And from there, we have been taught. The Bible lets us know in Colossians 1 and 16, Colossians 1 and 16 at NIV, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rules or authority. All things have been created through him and for him. And so we've got to understand, if the Word was here first, didn't only just be here in the beginning, it is with us forevermore. And so if we would go through, I just want everybody to write some of these scriptures down, and hopefully it will bless you, because we want to talk about the Word. Because oftentimes, as we look in our society for years now, they have been trying to do everything that they could to diminish the Word, bury the Word, kill the Word. But that is impossible, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God is ever existing. He is never non-existent. And as much as we try, or people try to smother the Word, they took Christ out of Christmas, they took prayer out of school, they're not praying in their homes, and the only time we find that we call on the name of the Lord is when tragedy arrives. And so we want to let the world understand, no matter what you do, you cannot kill God. Bible lets us know, Hebrews 4 and 12, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing souls, spirits, joints, and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So what this does is the Bible lets us know that God is always active. That means he's always moving. He's always in existence. And just because we don't call on the name, or we may not speak the word, does not mean that God is not moving. It does not mean he's not alive. When we are children of God and understand who God is, when we have the word in us, it is sharp. It's sharp like a double-edged sword. That means when I speak the word, even if I want to share something with somebody, or I want to tell somebody about themselves using the word is like a boomerang. It comes right back to me. And so we've got to understand, it makes us alive. It sharpens us. It keeps us on our toes, you know. And it penetrates. The word is not not something that we use and it doesn't affect us. And a lot of times we think that when we share the word with others, we think it hasn't moved them. Let me tell you something. The word will get on you, and it's almost like acid. It reaches into the areas that you didn't think it could get to, and it starts tearing up and killing and dissolving the things that are not like him. And so we've got to understand, in the word we'll find strength, and it gives us guidance in our thoughts. So we've got to understand our thoughts that God gives us. When we've got the Holy Ghost, that word, when it gets into us, it'll give us direction. It'll give us understanding. All right? So let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. I feel like teaching tonight, because I want us to understand that everything we need started in the beginning with the Word.
Yes.
And then he made letters, and then he made words, and then he made paragraphs. And he taught us through his Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is God-breathed.
Yes.
And it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Mm-hmm.
So we're good with the fact that God breathed his word. When he spoke, his word came into existence. And God let us know that we have the same power, we have the same ability, because we were made in the image and likeness of God. What God gave us was a part of himself. The problem is, a lot of times that we don't understand how powerful we are is because we have not yet allowed the word to be activated and alive and sharp in us to penetrate us, that we will be able to give that word. So when we speak life, or we can speak death through the power of our tongue. So we've got to understand, we've got to be careful what we say. We say stuff in jest. We just say things, because it's what everybody says. The reason why you're so tired is because you keep speaking it in the air. I'm so tired. And you ask, and you don't realize that you're putting those things. Why don't we speak things that lift us? Why don't we speak things of positivity? Because you've got to understand, when we give out those words, they go out and they perform what we say. When God spoke the word, when in the beginning, when he spoke the word, and he said, let us make man. When he spoke about putting the stars and the atmosphere into place, he spoke it. Mm-hmm. And it came forth. When he made us, we were not spoken. Mm-hmm. We were formed by his hand and breathed into us. And so that lets us know that he has given us the same power, not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify the Almighty God. So we've got to understand, when God breathed, so all scripture, it was there to teach us. We're good with learning the word as long as we take the part of the word that benefits us. Now, we're good when we want to rebuke someone else. But what happens when that sword comes back, that two-edged sword comes back to us and rebukes us and corrects us and trains up? We've got to understand, we don't know all things. There is not going to be a time in our life where we won't have to deal with correction in our life or rebuke. I thank God for growing up in the time that I grew up in, because the old mothers and all the saints back in those days, you didn't get away with anything. They didn't let you slide with anything, because they wanted to make sure that you were equipped to be a servant in the kingdom of God. And as a servant in the kingdom of God, we have to make sure we cannot have sensitive soldiers in the kingdom of God, because when we have sensitive soldiers, we don't have time for soldiers to be sitting in timeout crying in the middle of a battle. And so we are in a season and in a society and in a world in Christendom where we can't say anything to anybody because everybody's offended. And even when we go to the word, let me tell you something. We've got to use the word of God, because when we use the word of God, it may offend us, but when we have the God in us, we realize that it's there to correct us. And once we get ourselves together, once we get over the hurt of being embarrassed, once we get over the situation where I know I'm wrong and I don't want to be wrong, then it's time for us to get to a place where we decide, okay, I'm going to receive correction. We've got to learn how to receive correction, rebuke, so that we can be trained in righteousness.
Yes.
Because we cannot be righteous in our own self-fault, in our own self-opinion. You can have an opinion, but it does not mean that your opinion is the opinion if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. It's just your opinion, but it's an opinion that does not matter, or it does not solve, it does not fix, or it does not take care of the situation that is going on at hand. It's just your opinion. Your opinion is wonderful, but we're going to have to stand with truth. And that's why I share all the time. People are always saying, I'm living in my truth. And I have a problem when we live in our truth instead of living in the truth. Bible lets us know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we've got to understand, when we start saying stuff like, I'm going to live in my truth, you got to be careful. Because my truth is, the truth about me is I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. I came here messed up. I came here needing God. I came here needing salvation. I came here needing God to redeem me. That is my truth. That's my truth. And because I hooked up with the truth, I'm learning how to be corrected. I'm learning how to be equipped. And I'm learning how to serve.
Yes, hallelujah.
All right? Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Familiar passage of scripture. Though your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my pathway. Dr. Clay, I've come to a conclusion that people are literally walking in illuminated darkness, and they are using false light, trying to make it seem as if it is the light of God. I want to help us today because the reality is we are living in a day where reality is false and truth has been considered wrong. And
that's
the Bible lets us know that we were going to be coming to this day. I need somebody to understand the Word is helping us through this whole thing. You want to know what's going on, that you keep shaking your head and say, this is crazy? We've already been told. We've already been shared through the Word of God. The Word made letters, and the letters made words, and the words made paragraphs, and the paragraphs made a book called The Word. So that when we came into existence, we would not be here without a guide. So these things right now that we're seeing that's surprising everybody else, how men will become lovers of themselves, how men and women will love one another. Men loving men, women loving women. That is not the truth. That is someone's truth that was born in sin and in the shape of iniquity. I know it's not going to be something that everybody agrees with, but when we when are we going to understand that the Word, again, as I shared with you in the beginning, is active, is alive, cannot be buried, cannot die, because we showed up and we decided we want to walk in our truth. Our truth is alive. The truth is the devil deceiving us, making us believe that we are something that God did not ordain us to be.
That's right. That's right. Right.
I'm just giving y'all word. That's all I'm doing. I'm giving you the word. And a lot of times, you know, we get upset when I talk about, when people talk about things that are their opinion or how they feel. I say this to people a lot. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe.
Talk.
And I believe God.
Talk.
I believe that every word in this book is the Word of God that God has shared with us so that we can live and see him again. Why do I say that?
Amen.
Because if you really look in the book, you'll find out we're living in the days of the end time. And the Bible
lets
us know that these things were going to happen. But yet still we're sitting here shocked, holding our invisible pearls, trying to figure out what in the world is going on. The Bible lets us know this is what's going to happen. And if you don't get connected with God in this season, in this time, people of God, and this is the one time you can't start getting an attitude with your leaders when they're walking and connected with God. This is not the time when you want to get an attitude and don't want to come to church anymore. The Bible lets us know there shall be a great falling away. And I've learned just because they are on Zoom and just because they're on Facebook does not mean they're in church. There are many people who will not come back to church, but it amazes me. They still go to cookouts. They still go to the doctor's office. They still go to parties. They still go to book clubs and all these different things.
Watch it, watch it.
But why is God the last one on your list?
Last one on
the
list.
When he was in the beginning and made you who you are, designed you to be great, and you're taking his own creation and using it against him. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All right. Let's go to Isaiah 40 and 8. Isaiah 40 and 8. Because we so beautiful. We so wonderful. You know, we taking professional pictures with our own phones, and we're doing all of this. And Bible says in Isaiah 40 and 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Just in case we didn't catch it in the beginning, God is letting us know, I'm going to still be here when you're gone.
Yes.
And the thing about God is, no matter where you are, you can't run from him. The Bible lets us know if we lift our eyes in hell, he's still there.
Yes, yes.
So if you're going to lift your eyes, please lift your eyes where God is in heaven. At least be comfortable where you are. Bible says the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God
endures.
But the word of our God endures forever. So we've got to understand, beauty is going to fade. Beauty is we can get so excited about some of the most beautiful things, beautiful babies, beautiful flowers, beautiful homes, beautiful cars. They fade. Those things are going to fade, but God said my word is going to endure forever. His word is reliable. I'm going to say that again. His word is reliable. In other words, when you can't count on nothing else, and when you can't count on no one else, you can count on God's word.
Amen. Amen.
Let's go to Matthew 7 and 24. Matthew 7 and 24. I hope you're getting something out of this today.
Amen.
Matthew 7, 24 reads, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, watch this, and puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. We learn this as children. One of my favorite stories, the three little pigs. When we learn to hear the word of God and take the word of God and put them into practice, in other words, when we take the word of God that we hear and we live the word, we are building our house on a sure foundation.
Amen.
That's wisdom, and it puts you in a place where you're blameless because you're in the word, hearing the word. When you hear the word, it should activate the word that's on the inside of you to live the word the way God called us to live. This is why I question many people who make the statement, I'm living my truth. Why do I say that? Because you're not living what you heard from him. from the Almighty God. You're living your word from people who has an opinion concerning about the things that are going on in the world today. We've got to understand that when we look at the world today, they're trying to reverse everything that God foundationally put before us. Thou shalt not have any other God before us.
Amen.
He is your God. There are so many trying to twist and turn just so we can just turn away from everything that was before us. And if we do the opposite of what we know we've been taught to do in the Word, or whether it just be taught what's in your house, it's a rebellious generation. They're rebellious. They don't want to hear from God. They want to hear from themselves, who did not create themselves. They don't know what they're made out of or how they're made, don't know how you were designed, don't know how all these different things work. And even if you're a doctor, you still can't, God still puzzles us because he's designed the body to heal itself.
Yeah.
And we've taken the very things that God has put in the earth and corrupted it and used it for purposes that it was not supposed to be used for. God told us what it was supposed to be used for. So we've got to understand each generation has to become equipped to live in the world that they come into. That's why you've got to understand all of these children who are coming out now, who are almost coming out the womb talking, almost coming out the womb walking. My granddaughter is she's about 18 months, 19 months. I remember how long it took me to take words and sentences and put them together. She comes in the room and says to her mother, "Mommy, what you doing? Why are you doing that? I'm going to need you to be 2 years old before you start asking me questions about what I'm doing in my life." But they come equipped for the world and the generation that they're living in. And if you pay attention, the generations cannot comprehend the world we're living in now. It's too much for some of the generations that were before us that they're saying, it's time for me to go. This world ain't my home. It's time for me to go. Why? Because we see the wickedness. We see the wickedness of this generation that are far from God. But I come to let you know God's word is still alive. It's still active.
Yes.
And no matter how much this generation or the people of this time will try to smother the voice of God, his voice is like one who is crying out of the wilderness. Please understand, people of God, God is going to raise up a generation that says, no, I don't care what was being taught and what we see in this generation. God is already stepped ahead of us. He's already know what, he knew this was going to take place. That's why he let us know in the word of God. You've got to have an anchor. Let your anchor hold and grip, y'all hear me, the solid rock. It has to grip the solid rock. All right? So we've got to get to a place where we practice the word of God. It is a wise man, a wise woman who builds their house on a rock. Because if you do like the three little pigs and build your house out of hay, the first wind that comes, your house is going with it. If you build your house out of sticks, the first rain that falls and wind that comes is going to crush it down. My God, but if you build it on a solid foundation, take your time. We're too busy in a rush to go nowhere. Where y'all going? Where are we going? I'm looking at people who are, I got to get this done. I got to do this done. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Where are y'all going? It's time for us to get into a place where we get so close to God. This is an opportunity that so many people are missing. They're missing out on that connection with God. That thing, I got to get closer to God. The Bible lets us know, if we hunger and we thirst after righteousness,
we
shall be filled.
Hallelujah.
We shall be filled. Philippians 2. Let's go to Philippians 2, 14 through 16. Philippians 2, 14 through 16. I don't know about y'all, but I'm having a good time doing this right here.
Amen. Amen. Same here.
Philippians 2, 14 through 16. The word of the Lord reads, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless, pure children of God without fault in a rapt and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. I come to let you know, if you hold on and stop worrying about what this one's doing, stop grumbling and arguing because of what's going on, and we don't, well, this one's doing that one, and I don't think we should have to do this. I don't think that's what the word was saying. I know what I'm talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. The Bible lets us know. Let us not grumble and argue. One thing I loved about Jesus, one of the things I loved about Jesus, and a lot of people love that he was a healer. They love that he was one who came and set captives free. The one characteristic about God, about Jesus, that just it does something for me is his sarcasm. I love the way how he faced the Pharisees and Sadducees. You know, they came coming to Jesus with the word. They came with the word to the word and thought they were going to outword the word. You can't outword God. I am that I am. He is the word. He is the living epistle, walking, breathing epistle. And so when we start thinking about it, and they'll come and they'll say something to God and be sly. You say this and you said this and this. And he says, so you say. And he walks off. I love it. I love it.
Yes.
You know, so he lets them know, I am God. I don't have to sit and argue about who I am. I know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. He said, he lets them know, I can show you better than I can tell you. And this is what I'm sharing with the people of God today. You don't have to argue about your God. You don't have to fight whether if he's God or Buddha God. You got to just know what you know. And watch this. While everybody is calling themselves to be different from what God called us to be, you end up being the same of everybody else. If everybody's doing the same thing, you are no longer different. But we are a royal priesthood. We are holy generation. And we've got to understand that God let us know. If he didn't think that we could live a holy life, he would have never asked us to. He would have never told us that we could.
Amen.
So for all of us who say, oh, I can't live a holy life, I can't do that, it's too much going in my flesh. No, you've got to follow the instructions of the word. Your flesh has got to die daily. It ain't going to happen over the night. But the more I get Jesus in me and the more I get the word in me, the more some things in me have got to die. Why do you think that some of the things that you're going through in your life and the things that are building up in your spirit, you're trying to figure it out? Watch what you're watching on TV. You're wondering why your children are always fighting and arguing, always ready to get into something. What are they watching on TV? The unreality reality. There's not a show that they have on in our community that we can watch without there being some fighting and bickering, somebody pulling out weave or doing this and doing that, or we're just everything of opposite of what we've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
And they do this so that they can make money, and it comes into the communities, and they're doing it because they're acting out on what they heard.
Mm-hmm.
But if you act out on the word, the Bible says, if you do what you have heard and practice it. See, this is the thing. We're babes. We are practicing what we see. Children learn from who they are around.
Yes.
If you see a child just cussing up a storm, you got to ask the question, who has this child been around? Because the child didn't come here like that. The child learned that. It's what they heard. And what they heard, they practiced. What they practiced, they became.
they acted out.
Amen.
Bible lets us know, then you will shine among them like stars. That's why we have been hallowed out. Holiness means we've been hallowed out. And so we are supposed to look different. We're supposed to be different so that those that see us can say, what can I do to shine like that? It is no goodness of our own. We don't shine because it's our own self-glorification. We shine because we got the word in us. And the word is in us, and it's shining through us. It's nothing that we've done. We're not perfect. We just have the perfect one living in us, guiding us, telling us what we need to do. That's why I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank God for the Holy Ghost, whether I'm buying something. I look at things when I buy something. I look at it, am I going to keep this for the rest of the, for the next 5 years, or am I going to
You got the light of God living in her, and I wish that I did.
So we've got to learn how to live our live in the truth of God. All right, this is my last one. This is my last one. Bible says, Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I have to ask the question, what are you living off of?
Mm-hmm.
Are we just living off of the bread? See, the enemy is always going to come to you in the place of your weakness of what you were in, what you're in need of at that moment. So he decided to come to the word and try to throw the word at the word. You can't outdo the word with the word. That's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
He's the reason why the word exists. So therefore, we've got to understand that God and the enemy is always trying to do that. He didn't just do it with Jesus. He's still doing that with us. You ain't need all that. You didn't need to go to church. They ain't doing nothing over there. Forget not to assemble yourselves together. We've got to come together as a body of Christ. Why? It's important because we get strength from one another. The enemy knows if he can break up the unity in the house of God, then the house will fall.
That's right.
But how many people know in this day and time that God is not going to allow his house to fall because he let us know that he built his church on the word? On the rock, on the foundation that Peter said. He said, on this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Please, people, know that the gate of hell is not coming or destroying the house of God.
Amen.
I just dare you to sit down and wait. Just wait to see what happens next. And when we think that everything is all over with, here comes God like a flood.
Like a flood.
Hallelujah. When the enemy tries to come and destroy, God said, I'm going to raise up a standard against it. I'm going to open up the line. Is there anybody that wants to share with us? I know my time has been spent. But I want to open up the line. And if there's anybody else that wants to share anything concerning about the word of God and the word. And the word keeps us. It keeps us alive. It keeps us moving. It keeps us growing. It keeps us going and so we've got to understand, we need the word. We can't live without it. We're not going to be survivors without it. It's what's keeping us. Amen? I'm opening up the lines for everybody to share whatever you would like to share on today.
Amen.
I know there's some word folk out there on today that know that the word of God has kept you.
Yes. Thank you, Pastor. I was listening as you spoke. And the word is life, and it's medicine to our flesh. We live, the word, if we take it in, it helps us to live and breathe out everything that God is saying. And as we put that in our lives, we start to act like Jesus, hopefully. Maybe not look like him, but it certainly act like him if we have it in us. And I just thank you for the word that you brought tonight. that it really touched my heart. And thank you.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. And we do look we got to think about the very fact that when he says, when people come around you and they're like, oh, there's something about you. Yeah, you look different.
Yes.
There is a glow.
Yes.
There is a difference where people can tell that you look different. Even though your features haven't changed, there's something about you. There's something going on the inside let you know that Jesus is there. God bless you, sir.
So
good evening, all.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Brother Moderator, Sister Reverend Doctor, and my good friend, Sis Preach. How you doing this evening?
I'm good. Good to hear from you, Pastor.
Good to hear. You done sold in me. You done sold some deep stuff in me. And I want to add another thing to you, that since you're going back to childhood, you done went to the Three Little Pigs. You done went to what came first from one of your grandbabies. Take it on over to another question that we had. What came first, the chicken or the egg? So you can go on and, since you done put some in me, now you go on and add that to your notes. And go and develop
that
thing. Go and develop that thing like I know you will. Good word on tonight. love you much. God bless. Talk soon.
Good evening.
They all sound like nothing.
Yes, we can hear you, Pastor.
If you look at the Word of God and you go into Genesis. And it talks about everything reproducing at its own kind. Uh-oh, somebody talking? Hello?
Sounds like somebody's breaking up. I'm trying to say something.
If you're on the line, please mute your phone. Please mute your phone. We can hear you in the background so that others can go forth. Yes, you can go ahead.
Hey, I'm trying to speak on the word. Can you hear me?
Yes,
we can hear you.
Okay. I'm in a place right now that's hard for me to get reception, but in the apartment that we're staying in, but. Anyway, I just wanted to say something on the word that she was speaking. That was something you said that I really, really love, and it's something that I've always said, and people look at me like I'm crazy when I say it. You talked about you love the fact that Jesus was sarcastic. And I always said that. I've always said I love to read what Jesus is saying in his parables and his response to the false teachers and all those other guys. I love the fact that he was sarcastic in his responses. And to me, it's kind of funny. And when I read it, I kind of laugh because I said, boy, Jesus, he's my man. That's my man right there. And I just wanted to point that out, that Jesus was sarcastic. And people don't want to say that because they think that they're saying there's something bad about Christ. But no, I'm like you, Pastor. That's one of the things that I really love about him, his sarcasm. I really love that. The Pharisees and Sadducees, whoever came at him with anything, his response was like, you know, it actually he was putting what they said back in their
absolutely.
Mouth. He put their words back in their mouth, and I just loved it. I just loved it. So thank you. Thank you much.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you.
Just wanted to get that in.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely was. Go ahead.
I want to get it in to say this to all of y'all who are on tonight. Apologize for not being on. There's a lot of stuff going on here, and I really, 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 really solicit your prayers. I've been working 12 hours They've been putting us on 12 hours every Wednesday, and that's one of the reasons, Elder Clay, that I hadn't been able to participate. But my love for you guys is still the same. You know, my respect for you guys is still the same, and my prayers for you all are still the same. So just bear with me, and we'll be through this process sooner than later.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
All
right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else that wants to share anything tonight?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just want everyone to understand the importance of the word, because when we hear about the word, God lets us know it is Him. When we hear it, we are expressing it. And the more we speak about the word, the more we move the word, the more we give the word life, the more we allow the word to participate. I'm in a time in a season where we want to make God great again, make God big. And the Bible lets us know if we magnify Him, we enlarge Him. Magnify means enlarge. There's no way that we can worship Him and don't enlarge Him. There's no way that we can worship God and not magnify Him. So whenever we worship God, we're making God large wherever we are. Y'all remember the woman whose daughter had was vexed with the demon. The Bible says that Jesus went into a place and hid in the cut. He didn't want nobody to know he was there. He got tired of the Sadducees, Pharisees, and he was hiding in the cut. But the woman found him. When she found him in the house, the Bible says that she went and she worshipped him.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And when she worshipped him, he said, it's not good for me to give the children's bread to the dog.
She
wasn't allowing him to get away with that.
That's right.
She knew who she was, but watch this. When she worshipped him, she enlarged him and exposed him to the whole house. So now he didn't want nobody to see him. Now everybody sees him because she worshiped him. I come to let you saints of God know today, the more you worship him, the more the people will see God. The more they see God, the more they can get from God. But they cannot get anything from God if we keep him in the corner.
You know, Pastor,
that's enlarge him. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We brag about, you know, things that we do and all of that. But if we talk about God, oh my God, it not only brings life to you, but to everybody that hears it. He says we are overcomers by our testimony, the words of our testimony, by His blood in the word testimony. So as we tell our testimony to people, hey, we overcome, and it brings somebody else into the life. You know, if we never tell anybody about what Jesus is doing right now. I'm not talking about what we did in scripture. I'm about right now in your life. Then you are not giving him the glory that he deserves if we don't tell about his goodness and all of that success.
Amen.
Listen, if we're not embarrassed by some of the stuff that we see on TV, if we're not embarrassed by some of the stuff that we did and we still tell it.
Really?
Why are we so embarrassed about the one who created
us? I know that's
the
truth.
Why are we embarrassed by him? If anything, he made us better than what we were. But we are embarrassed to call on the name of Jesus. Listen, I tell people all the time, you knew who I was when you brought me here. I'm going to call on the name of Jesus.
All right,
whether it's in town hall, if it's in the aisle, for in the grocery store, you knew who I was and who I represented.
Yes,
don't try to smother my God to make other people feel comfortable. No, you
there
just made
you
me uncomfortable
you
when you told me to stop calling on my God. So
all
if
right
my God
now.
Can't come with me, I can't come either.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. If I can't brag about him, who am I going to brag about?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Amen. He's done more for me than anybody has ever done for me in my life. He just gave me life.
I'm here
to
tell
you. Have to do nothing else.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Give me life. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
So I hope everybody was blessed by the word of the Lord. I may take a part two on this one. Amen. Because I love the word, and I pray that all of you are blessed and continue to be blessed, continue to pray for one another as we are continuing to go through the many things. We're praying for you, bruh, who was on the line and working those extra hours.
Yes.
Please be careful, people of God, because they're making more hours for us and less pay for us and all of these different things. Make sure you take care of you. Take care of your bodies. Take care. Make sure you are getting what you need, and so that you can sustain. You got to realize we are made of spirit, soul, and body, and we have to take care of all those things. So I'm just going to turn it over to Elder Clay, and have him give us last words and dismiss us. Amen.
Amen.
That was Pastor Robinson from out of Tennessee, and he's always coming on with a word and to share with us, and we just thank God that he joins us whenever the opportunity avails itself. I would like to say, when we talk about the word of God, I mean that was a powerful word, and it's something that each and every one who is on the line should take with you. Again, we're just sitting around and just digesting and feeding off the word of God, and that was a wonderful word. And when I thought about that, I think about Proverbs, and it says, "He who heeds the words wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he." Meaning that when we communicate the word of God with others, we're talking about being happy, walking around and being sad and all these things going on. The problem is because, we're not proclaiming the word of God. We're not proclaiming that. So, that just gives us, another avenue, to think about as we're on our journey, as we bless others, we get blessed. As we bless others with the word of God, we get blessed.
Amen.
So, Pastor Mixon, thank you so much for your time, taking time out, and coming to share with the body of Christ. And I just know that I have been blessed, and all of you online, I know that you have been, I know that you have been blessed also. Well, young lady, whoever that is, goodbye. Thank you so much for joining. We don't leave nobody out. So thank you so much. For always coming on and just coming in and sharing your heart along with the word of God. We just thank you so much this evening. As we close out, we'd like to ask you to join us, next week. We will be on the same time, and we just invite you back again. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Pastor Mixon who comes on a regular basis, and we thank you, Heavenly Father. We pray, Lord, that you would bless her coming and bless her going, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would fill her up in the areas where she's torn down and strengthen her where she is weak, and let her delight in the Lord, Lord, Heavenly Father, be desired of her heart, Heavenly Father. We collectively come, Heavenly Father, praying on this woman of God, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just bless her abundantly in the name of Jesus. We claim it, we declare it, and we also ask, Heavenly Father, that you would be with Pastor Robinson, who has asked to pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would, whatever things that he's going through, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would bring it to fruition, Heavenly Father, a man, Heavenly Father, who is so loud for you, and we thank you, Heavenly Father, for he and his wife. We pray for healing within our souls. In the name of Jesus, we pray this prayer. Again, we thank you so much. We love you. Remember that God loves you. Good evening.